We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome into the LakersNation.com podcast. I'm Trevor Lane for LakersNation.com. We've got a lot to talk about going on in the world of the Los Angeles Lakers. Fortunately, there's not a lot of positivity right now, but we will still dive into everything. Joining me today, we've got a special guest, Scorpio Sky, AEW's TNT champ. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me. You know, things in my professional life is going well, but for my team, not so much. It's really been a tough season. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you, let's just even start there. What's more difficult right now, stepping into the wrestling ring and getting through a match or watching an entire Lakers game right now?
I'll tell you this. Last night, I got powerbombed 3 or 4 times by a guy named Wardlow, and that was a lot less painful than watching these games where we're down 20 and we make a little mini comeback and just enough to lose by 10 and to give us a little bit of hope. And it's so painful to watch. And we talked about it off air a moment ago. Like, the last time I was on the show was preseason, and I was so optimistic, and I'm embarrassed about it. Like, I've looked back a few times, I'm like, I'm so embarrassed at how optimistic I was for this team, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, I mean, this team, and we all kind of had to be optimistic. We had to think, hey, there's a chance this can work, because this gamble that the Lakers took, obviously it didn't pay off at all. Even the people who said it's not going to work weren't predicting it was going to be as bad as it's been for the Lakers. It's been far worse than any of us could have imagined. But the gamble was that fit wasn't going to matter so much, that ultimately talent would win out. And if you looked at the names that were on this team, you would say, okay, this team's got a lot of talent. Obviously, there have been a lot of things that just haven't worked. But still, yeah, when we go back and we look at the offseason, we think we were pretty optimistic about how well this team could do. I mean, they were, even Las Vegas was projecting them to be the team to come out of the Western Conference. And here we are. I mean, we're going to barely fall backwards, most likely, into a play-in spot. Whew, this has been an epic collapse this season. And I've seen a lot of fans saying that this has been their least favorite Lakers team of all time, or the worst season ever. Are you in agreement with that? Has this been the worst season that you've experienced?
No, it's not the worst season ever. By far, it's not. You know, we've gone through, 17 win seasons. And, you know, if you go back to the year we had Dwight Howard, even though that team kind of got it together in the end, it led to Kobe's Achilles tear, you know. So as long as we don't have something like that, it's not going to be the worst season. But I will be in agreement when I say this is probably my least favorite team we've ever had. And it took me so long to kind of figure out, and I'm still trying to figure out why they are so bad. Obviously, there's been some positive things. We've got Austin Reeves. Like, finding him is amazing. But then when you really dive deep in the weeds, as much as I love Austin Reeves, how many other teams in the league would he start on? Right. You know, and he's a great starter for us. But, you know, that kind of shows where we are. Like, he'd probably be a great bench guy if we had a better team. And a lot of it, you know, I look back to a lot of times I've looked back to the failed Kyle Lowry trade done last season that we pulled out on because of THT, and what a mistake that was. You know, if you really break down what could have happened, that was, if you correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was THT, Schroeder, and KCP.
KCP, yeah.
Which means we still would have had Trez and Kuzma to go get Buddy Hield or whoever else. There's no choosing between Alex Caruso and THT because THT's gone, so we can bring Alex Caruso back. One little move like that could have changed everything. It's a different conversation now.
It feels like just about everything they've done has gone beyond. When you look at it, when you're making a decision, any decision, right, in life, and you're thinking about, okay, if this isn't going to go well, we're probably going to see these things happen. And if it does go well, this is what's going to happen. It's gone past what anybody could have projected in terms of the downside of the transaction. So yeah, it definitely didn't work out as far as the Kyle Lowry thing. That would have obviously been a completely different domino for where the Lakers would be. Maybe if there's some way we can Marvel style jump over to that reality or something like that, that would certainly be nice, because looking back, yes, they should have made that move. We can also look and say they shouldn't have traded for Russell Westbrook. We can say they shouldn't have broken up the team that was pretty good the season before and just got hit by injuries. It's been a lot of mistakes, and I can tell you that the tough part is knowing that there's more pain coming, that in order to undo the mistakes of this last offseason, there's going to be a price to be paid this summer. That's what's got me nervous, is looking ahead to the summer, what is it going to take to now fix these self-inflicted wounds?
What makes me nervous is a lot of the things about the front office and how GMs don't necessarily want to work with Rob Pelinka or aren't, you know, we've always been through the fact that teams don't want to help the Lakers. Nobody's feeling bad for the Lakers. Everyone's really like enjoying this moment. And, you know, because the Lakers were so dominant for so long. So it, you know, that 2027 first might be gone. I hope not. I hope we can get Russell Westbrook traded somewhere for maybe a couple of seconds or something. You know, I've read that the idea was to try to take the 27 and the 29 and go find another disgruntled superstar and trade Russ. That's not going to happen. There's not going to be another team that's going to send us any type of disgruntled superstar or not for Russell Westbrook and two picks. I just don't see it happening. Who are we going to get? Is Bradley Beal's not coming? You know, they're not. I don't know what the go-to is. I think the best bet we can do is find a team with some contracts that aren't so favorable and try to take those contracts and give up hopefully a couple of second round picks. And then it falls back on the front office of, are they willing to take contracts that are going to go beyond 2023? Because the next thing you read was that they passed on DeMar DeRozan because they didn't want to give him a three-year deal. And again, I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems like they are very protective over that cap space in 2023. So it could be.
Yeah, they've always valued that future flexibility for better or for worse. And in the case of DeMar DeRozan, of course, we can look back and say DeMar DeRozan right now, hindsight being 2020, looked like fantastic. Like, why would they have not done this? You know, DeMar DeRozan's been great this season. If you remember back then, there were some drawbacks. There were some concerns with bringing in DeMar DeRozan, just as there were concerns with Westbrook. There were some pluses and minuses to doing something like that, triggering a hard cap. Does DeRozan fit with the lack of three-point shooting and the defense and things of that nature? And obviously, he's silenced any critics this year. But yeah, I mean, DeRozan is just another situation where should they have just been willing to pay the third year? And then that brings fans back to, why didn't they pay an extra year to get Ty Lue? Look what Ty Lue's been doing with the Clippers. Wouldn't that have helped them? Or then Alex Caruso. There's some concerns there as well from an organizational standpoint. The Lakers, we've seen them now make moves for the last few seasons where they're at least paying some mind to the financial side of it. And as the seventh highest valued franchise on the planet, not in the NBA, on the planet, I feel like that should never be a thing. That should never be a thing for a team that is that valuable where you're making decisions based on finances. So I'm a little bit concerned about that moving forward as well. Are we going to continue to see that be a theme, or are the Lakers going to be willing to pay what it takes to fix the problems that were caused, whoever caused them? We've got people saying, oh, it's LeBron's fault, it's Clutch Sports' fault, it's Genie's fault, it's Rob Pelinka's fault, it's the front office. whoever's fault it is, are you going to be willing to pay the price to fix it now this summer, or do you once again balk at the idea of having to pay up down the line?
Right. I mean, they need to stop pointing fingers and trying to figure out whose fault it was. Like, what's done is done. You know, they can't, it's not like they're going to be able to decide whose fault it was and then everything magically disappears and goes back to being, you know, fairy tale Lakerland. We got to just roll through this and we have to figure out a way to get out of it. You know, there is a part of me that feels bad because this isn't 100% Russell Westbrook's fault. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, okay, you put Russell Westbrook on the bench and we're a top three seed team. Like, that's not the case. We're just not. I mean, a lot of it does come from the salary he makes and what we were able to get. But, you know, again, a lot of it falls on the front office. Like, it's not my money. So let me start out by saying that. Getting that out of the way, there's no excuse for not bringing Alex Caruso back. I won't accept an excuse. I get it. I don't completely understand the luxury tax. Maybe if they paid him $8 to $10 million, they might have had to pay $15 to $20 million in luxury tax. Is possible. I don't know. Again, yeah. It's not my money. But if you are the Lakers, consistently year after year after year, say it's about winning. And speaking of winning, you know, I just watched the second episode of Winning Time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jerry Buss, he stands on the table and he says, like, I don't care what the cost is. You know, I want to win. You figure it out and I'll take care of that. Where's that mentality when Alex Caruso comes back to us and says, I'll take less and I'll stay. And they're just like, no, we'll let you go. Like, at the very least, bring him back because he's a tradable piece, because he's a great player that will fit on any team in the league, and any team would want him. It's just, it's inexcusable. I had hair at the beginning of the season. I ripped it
all. Yeah, it really, you know, you're right about Caruso being potentially a movable piece. He would have been at the trade deadline. Perhaps that changes your fortunes at the trade deadline. But beyond that, he's a valuable player. Now, do we look at this Lakers team right now and say they are an Alex Caruso away from contending? No, but he certainly would have heard. I mean, you probably got at least a few more wins on your books. And so then you're not, you know, in such a perilous situation with the play-in and all of that. And look, a lot of things have gone wrong this season. So who knows what would have happened had you done that. But still, watching an asset walk away for nothing when you could have had a very tradable player on that contract is another, you know, questionable decision by the Lakers. And so again, that leads to concern. Like, on one hand, Lakers fans have told me, and I've been hearing nonstop, can it just be July 1st? Can we fast forward to July 1st and just start this teardown, get this team, destroy them, just rip this thing to shreds and let's start fresh. Let's see what we can do this offseason. After what happened this past season, I don't know. I certainly don't have full confidence that they're going to make all the correct decisions this summer. I hope they do. We've seen them make some smart moves in the past, but there's also a little bit of trepidation on my part as we get towards the offseason. What exactly are they going to do? And could it wind up hurting the franchise for the next decade to come? That's when we're talking about the 2027, 2029 pick, we could be talking about the next seven, 8 years of this franchise moving forward could be on the line with the decisions that are made this summer. And that's frightening.
Yeah, it is. It's extremely frightening. And, you know, I want to give Rob credit, though, where credit is due. He hasn't made only like bad decisions, like, you know, the Ty Lue decision, you know, to not, whether that came from him or whatever, it was right above his head. I'm not too sure. But I mean, Ty Lue obviously would have been a great coach. That being said, Frank Vogel is a great coach, and we won a championship with Frank Vogel. After winning the championship, good move, at least on paper. You know, and I'll say this: a lot of the moves that did not work out at the time they were made, you understood they made sense. Danny Green for Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder had just won, or not won, but he was the runner-up for Sixth Man of the Year. They were losing Rondo. They were losing Avery Bradley. They had spots at guard. You have another ball. You know, guys in Anthony Davis's age range. It checked all the boxes, made all the sense in the world. It just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But you can't – that's not an indictment. It was a good move. Bad move, trading JaVale McGee, I think, was a bad move.
To bring in Gasol,
Yeah, for Mark Gasol. Like I think to bring in Gasol, and not that Gasol was, you know, he had a decent year with us, but like we, if you look back at last year, there are definitely some possessions and some times, even still to this day, I mean, we could have really used JaVale. I mean, how much would you love to have JaVale McGee right now?
Oh yeah, you know? Absolutely. And I laugh because I remember, you know, the first month or so of that season, last season, they spent time throwing lobs about a foot too high. Where Trez is going up for it and can't get there. Gasol is looking at it fly by and he's like, what do you expect me to do with that? They were used to throwing that up to JaVale and him going up and getting it, or Dwight and him going up and getting it, and they didn't have that anymore.
Yeah. So there have been good moves and bad moves. I don't want to just completely make this an indictment on him, but yeah, the bad moves have been really, really bad. And we're heading into a really big summer. This is a franchise altering summer. You know, this is going to set things up for the next, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years to come. I'm sorry to say Frank Vogel is gone. I don't see them bringing him back. And I don't think this is his fault. He's just going to be the fall guy, unfortunately. So who are they going to hire as the coach? What are they going to do with Russell Westbrook and the rest of the roster? And is it sacrilegious for me to say this? I almost don't even want to make the playoffs at this point because I'm so irritated at watching us get blown out by the Suns. Like, those games are some of the most frustrating for me. And I don't really want to just get swept by them, to be honest with you. Like, I almost would rather just miss the play-in. Let's get this season over with. We're not going anywhere anyway, and move on. Is that sacrilegious?
No, I mean, that's not unique, right? I've seen a number of fans that have said, whatever gets this team to go away the fastest, and I hate saying this, I hate that we're in this spot right now, but I've seen that sentiment from a lot of fans who have said, the sooner they're gone, the sooner I don't have to watch these games anymore and this team that struggled so much and all of that. And I understand that. Personally, I want to see them go as far as they can. Just, I'm still holding out hope, and I think it's a very, very slim chance. But if you get some kind of a spark from Westbrook, some kind of a spark from Taylor Horton Tucker, at least improve your bargaining position somewhat during the offseason. And the longer you play, the greater a chance that that happens. Otherwise, I think the Lakers go into this offseason as the desperate team, which they were at the trade deadline. And teams used that against the Lakers, tried to fleece them. And I think that's what we'll see again. So I want them to have some type of bargaining position. And maybe they can get, if they can get even a minor run, maybe that gives them a little bit of leverage. But I fully understand what you're saying. And I don't think that's out of line. These games, again, like you said, they've been tough to watch. And it's almost like you couldn't script it any worse for the fans' perspective, because we continue to get these nights. I mean, heck, we just saw this against the Wolves where the Lakers go down big. You just get blasted right out of the gates and then you slowly chip away and you come back and you're right there only to give it all right back again. So it's like from the emotional roller coaster, you get hit hard right at the beginning. They get your hopes back up. Maybe they can do this. Nope. Slam you right back down into the ground. And then that's what you walk away from the game with. It's been a tough watch for Lakers fans this season, so I fully understand this notion of let's just get this over with and done and look ahead to July.
Yeah, extremely tough. But you make a great point. I have to agree with you. Yeah, the farther they do go, the better it is setting us up for the summer. So, you know, I'll tell you, me personally, I hadn't had cable in years, and I used to stream, you know, whatever wasn't on regular TV, like ESPN or whatever, I had apps, I would stream the games on, like, my laptop. And when I moved into this house, one of the big things, I was like, I'm going to get Spectrum cable so I can watch every Laker game this season. And so I moved in last summer, and boy, I've watched almost every Laker game, and it has been so painful. Like, I picked a hell of a year to get to Spectrum Sports Channel.
Hopefully next year we'll be better. But I guess before we even get on to the summer stuff and all that, and we've spent a lot of time on that already, but are you... What's your optimism for the play-in tournament and all of that? Do you see them as having any shot of even getting through the play-in and officially into the playoffs?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, and I'm sure a lot of people around me think I'm crazy or just an overly Laker apologist, but I strongly feel if LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy, it almost doesn't even matter the pieces around them. We just have to have like decent pieces around them, and we've got a shot against any team. As long as those two are healthy and performing. They won a championship 16 months ago, mm-hmm. something like that. And it drives me crazy because the media and people talk like the Lakers won that championship 5 years ago. And you know, it was like 16 or 17 months ago. We've seen this work. It does feel like a long time because it's been two seasons. But I mean, all of the trade Anthony Davis talk and that sort of thing, it's crazy to me. I mean, yes, he's had some injuries and so has LeBron, and you know, they're both getting older and not getting younger. We've seen this work. We've seen it work. They've just been hurt. If we can get them together and get them healthy, then yeah, I think we can get through the play-in. I don't have any confidence that we would beat Phoenix, but hey, at this point, if we can take one or two games from them in the first round, and I'm not sure we could, but if we could, I think that would be a huge way to close out this season.
Man, what a difference from last offseason. Now we're talking about getting a game or two in the first round. But you're right. I mean, if they were able to do that, that would at least be – it would be something. It would be something to finish off the season with. Who knows? You push Phoenix to a few more games, and maybe you can alter the outcome of the playoffs if Phoenix is a little bit worn out for the next round or whatever. Again, they've been great all season, so I'm not expecting them to get bounced out or anything. But – yeah, I mean, this Lakers team, I think, can still be dangerous. But I think we've also seen why roster building is so important in terms of skill set, in terms of fit. And it's the thing that gets me is it's not rocket science. What has happened, what has always worked with LeBron has been surround him with guys who can do two things. Just two things. That's it. Just defend, shoot threes. That's it. That's all that you need those guys to do. And then, of course, of varying sizes. You need guys who are bigs who can do those things, especially wings. You need guys who are guards who can do those things. They went away from that the first year LeBron was a Laker, and they said, well, we're going to get playmakers. Here comes Lance Stephenson and okay, Michael Beasley, come on down. And that obviously didn't work. That didn't work at all. And then they went back to that formula for the next season, and you win a championship. You kind of stuck with that formula the next season. Injuries derailed you, and then they went away from it again completely. They found guys who aren't necessarily defenders, aren't necessarily shooters, or at least the guys who are shooters aren't defenders, and the guys who are defenders aren't shooters, and we've got kind of the mess we're in right now. So that's what I'm looking for from the Lakers. If you can just revert back to that very simple formula and then surround LeBron and Anthony Davis with those guys, easier said than done. Those players are not easy to find by any means. But if you can focus on those things, I think you can rebuild this team moving forward. Because like you said, AD and LeBron, they're still absolutely phenomenal when healthy, which there's a lot of Lakers fans right now that has to say that is a giant asterisk there. When healthy, because of course we've seen what's gone on with AD this summer. I take it, by the way, by what you're saying, that you're not out on Anthony Davis and by any means, and you're not in favor of trading him away or anything like that.
Unless there's like a blockbuster deal, I don't see the point in trading. Like, don't trade him just to trade him. If there is a way you can get better, then, oh, yeah, everyone's on the table, sure. But I don't see too many trade scenarios coming off of 2 years of injury. You know, I don't see, you know, the Brooklyn Nets saying, all right, here's Kyrie Irving or, you know, I mean, like what trade can you get that's going to make you better and that's going to pair next to LeBron James better than Anthony Davis does. I just don't see it.
Yeah, and you can even, I mean, even like a guy like Kyrie, does he fit better than a healthy Anthony Davis does next to LeBron? I don't know. I mean, that's the hard part, right? Is you've got guys who in theory could fit, but are those guys really going to be available via trade? And then if they're not, what are you really getting out of a deal? I really think it would take, and people have said move LeBron too. I think it would take either LeBron or Anthony Davis or both of them going to the Lakers and saying, hey, we've worked together this long, work with us again, find a trade here. It would take that happening. I don't think the Lakers will trade them of their own volition. I think they're going to stick with them and try to rebuild this thing next year.
I agree with you. And I know there was a lot of smoke around All-Star weekend of LeBron. Oh, LeBron's going to go back to Cleveland and that sort of thing. And I really didn't buy too much into it. And here's why. LeBron's in Cleveland for All-Star weekend. And the reporter asks him, oh, is the door closed on returning to Cleveland? Did they really expect him to say, yep, never coming back? like there's no possible way he's ever going to say that. And even with the Bronny thing, which he's gone back and forth on it. You know, I know now it's, I want to play with my son. I'm going to play with my son. And I believe him. But first, it was originally, I either want to play with my son or against my son. That's what it always was originally. And second, if you listen to him now, it's always, I want to play with my son, but it's, I want to play with my son my last year. So people are assuming, oh, 2024, LeBron's gone from the Lakers. He's not saying 2024 is his last year. He's saying he might play five more years. Who knows? And he may leave in 2024. But I just think that, you know, there's smoke and a lot of people are kind of jumping to conclusions of like, oh, LeBron wants to leave this summer. LeBron wants to leave the next summer. Like, we don't know. He may stay. He loves L.A. This is where he wants to be. He came here for a reason. He said he wants to retire Laker. I'm not sure if he will, but you know, I'm with you in the sense of like, unless they come to you and say, I want to leave, don't trade either one of them. Because again, I have to say it, we've seen it work. We just have to have the right pieces around them. Even last year, you know, reminding people, we're up 2-1 on the Phoenix Suns when Anthony Davis gets hurt. This is 1 year ago. And it wasn't 5 years ago. It was 1 year ago. We're up 2-1. I 100% believe we win that series if Anthony Davis doesn't go down. I mean, I know people can say whatever they want, but no one will ever convince me different.
No, I'm of the same mindset. I said the same thing when it happened too. And then even after the moment, I've been saying, look, I think the Lakers win that series again. They were up 2-1. The Suns were struggling quite a bit with AD. Now you can argue Chris Paul had an injury. Is that healed up? Maybe that swings the series itself. There's room, there's wiggle room in there, but I do think that the Lakers would have won the series had AD stayed healthy. Now, who knows? Maybe they would have lost in the next round. We don't know, but would have been interesting to see what would have happened from there. And again, I do think they would have won that series. But of course, that team was completely blown up. They only had three players: AD, LeBron, and THT, and that was it. That stuck around after this huge overhaul. So, and we're going to be in for it again. There's no way the Lakers are bringing back this team next season. There's going to be some major changes made. So it's going to be a lot of new faces next year as well. I do want to talk a little bit about what we're seeing here for the remainder of the season. We've seen teams that have clearly enjoyed kind of kicking the Lakers while they're down. They've enjoyed getting these wins in right now, but we haven't seen it to a degree that we saw from the Wolves. Them flexing to the crowd and Patrick Beverley calling Russell Westbrook trash and holding his nose, screaming at the Lakers bench. Karl Anthony Towns, when Westbrook airballed the three, all of his antics, all the stuff, all of that talk. I mean, they were one step short of just smashing Westbrook in the back with a steel chair and spray painting NWO on his back at this point. RIP Scott Hall. But But what do you want to see out of this team moving forward? Because we're starting to see teams really take shots at the Lakers and really enjoy playing against this team and sort of rubbing it in. What are you wanting to see the Lakers do as far as a response goes?
I want to see them come back and kick all these teams' butts next season. I don't see it happening this season, but you know, I didn't see the game with the Wolves last night because I was wrestling. But I saw the clips and I saw the reports on it, and it's infuriating to me. You know, Patrick Beverley is an irritator already, and I like him, but you know, he definitely gets under my skin as a fan. Karl Anthony Towns, the same thing. You know, and there is a part of me that buys into what Russell Westbrook said after the game, where it was, you know, those guys haven't done anything. And it's like, yeah, they haven't done anything. They, you know, but at the same time, they're filling themselves. You know, they're beating at the Wolves have beat us maybe three straight times we've played them now, and pretty decisively, and that's extremely frustrating. And so I want to see this team come back, and I want a revenge season next year, man, because we've got a lot of teams that we owe it to.
It feels like every time we've expected this team to, okay, they're going to, you know, as far as Michael Jordan goes, they're going to take this personally, right? And we're going to see them really come out with fire this next game. They're going to take it out on the next team. We haven't really seen that. And we've even seen in game where it's like they suddenly get a burst of confidence. And then as soon as they get any kind of a pushback, any kind of resistance, they just kind of fall to pieces. It's like their confidence wavers so fast, and it's amazing from just an athletic standpoint to see these guys who are incredible. I mean, some of the best players of their generation suddenly look like they don't believe in their ability to win basketball games. I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like it.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, they're done. They're mentally checked out. They don't even believe in themselves anymore. And, you know, it was like 9 games below 500 or whatever. I can't say I blame them too much. But even if you go back and look at last year's team, there were times where we got down big. But they never gave up. They fought their way back, and they cut games close. And sometimes they won and sometimes they didn't. This team has the ability to do that because we've seen them do it. The Knicks game comes to mind, and that was an amazing comeback, and they played the whole second half of that game incredibly well. But you know, a lot of times it's too late, and they make these comebacks, and part of me, wonders, are they really, really, you know, having that pride and fighting hard to come back, or is it the other team taking their foot off the gas a little bit and letting them back into the game because they're like, we already know they're done, or a little bit of both. But whatever it is, as a fan, you know, I've heard you talk about it on the show. If you look at the Clippers and you look at us and the way the two teams are fighting and the way they're representing what, you know, LA fans would want, or not LA fans, but, you know, just the city of LA would want from their team, you know, unfortunately it's the Clippers that are outperforming us by miles. And, you know, again, it goes back to that front office though. You know, again, another thing you've talked about on the show is Steve Ballmer's willing to pay, man. He, you know, he'll bring in these guys that did that deal where they got Robert Covington and Norman Powell for nothing. It was just literally like, here's some lint in my pocket. Let me take these two great players. I don't know how they did that deal, but bravo to them. I wish we could have done something like that. But again, you gotta be willing to pay.
Yeah. And the Lakers didn't have the contracts to move either. They didn't have the deals to stack up to go make a move like that, in part because they did the Russell Westbrook trade. Yeah. And that's the other scary part here is when we're watching Winning Time. As soon as the new episode comes out, we've been watching it. There's times where they've got Dr. Buss on there. John C. Reilly's doing a fantastic job playing him. When I go, is this the new Bomber? Is that what we're experiencing right now? Like in terms of the way he's acting, the way he's willing to spend and all that kind of stuff, and taking this team that was kind of the laughing stock and that team always loses and all that. There's some parallels there, and I'll have to admit, it's uncomfortable. It's a little uncomfortable thinking about it that way, and I'm hoping, obviously, that's not the way it plays out, but it does kind of feel like they they're definitely making some noise over there, and I'd like to see the Lakers step up and respond.
Yeah, it almost feels like the Lakers organization is running their team like a small market mm-hmm. team. You know, not bringing back Alex Caruso. I know I keep harping on that. I've been harping on it all season, but it's hurtful. I mean, we all loved him, and he was great, and he's having a great year in mm-hmm. Chicago. But not bringing him back over money is not a Laker move. Yeah. It's you know, the Lakers are about winning championships, and you know, they've always kind of taken care of their superstars, but I mean, sometimes you got to take care of those guys. I remember Jeannie Buss giving an interview last season, and in the off season, she said something along the lines of, it's important to us to take care of the guys that we found or we drafted, and keeping them within our organization and letting them grow and seeing that investment. And it's like, you got a guy, Alex Caruso, you know, you didn't have to choose between him and THT. You could have brought them both back, and you just chose not to. Yeah, I still can't get it, and I'll never forget it.
That one is always going to be – that's like as confusing as trading Ivica Zubats to the Clippers for Mike Muscala. It's one of those things where you're like, what? No, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't do that. Dude, don't do that.
and he's still performing
yes,
for them.
Yes, he is. Oh, man. Well, in any event, it's been a rough season. But Lakers Nation, thank you, everybody who has made it through this season with us. It's been tough. Hopefully the Lakers can rebuild things in July and fix some of the problems that were created this season. Scorpio Sky, thanks so much for coming on here, man. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, man. I love to do it. Keep doing what you're doing. I love Lakers Nation. I watch every video the moment they drop, or as close to the moment they drop as I can. I've got the notifications on YouTube, and the front office show is great as well. And Lakers fans, just keep hope alive. Let's just send all the positive energy to the front office. They need it. Let's have a great summer. Let's bounce back. And, Lakers in five.
Lakers in five. I like it. Well, thanks so much. And everybody, Lakers Nation, you can follow Scorpio Sky across social media at Scorpio Sky, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Make sure you do subscribe to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. Don't forget to follow us over on Apple Podcasts as well. Give us that 5-star review. We've been getting some fantastic reviews lately. Honestly, heartwarming stuff that has been coming in about our shows. I am so, so appreciative about the stuff you guys have been leaving in our reviews lately. So please make sure, if you haven't done so already, toss us a review and preferably a 5-star rating as well. Till next time, everybody, stay safe and see ya.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks. You're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.